This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Fly me to the moon and let me play amongst the stars.
Dr. Beck Wilcox, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Thank you for having me, Warren.
It's really good to have you here. We're talking today about how animals have contributed to exploring the final frontier. How did this topic come about, and why have animals been sent to space?
So many reasons. I think I went down a little bit of a, we'll call it a wormhole, rabbit hole, when an ad, for a job, a veterinarian at NASA, so you could be an astronaut.
Oh, wow.
Yes, yes, but I loved it so much because in the HR component, it said some travel may be required.
Right, okay.
But that came up, so I looked into it, and it kind of started in the first time they've used animals to send them up, fling them into the firmament. I was in 1783, where they sent a rooster, a duck as a positive control because it can fly, and a sheep in a hot air balloon.
Hang on, a duck is a positive control?
They think so because it can fly. The rooster not so much, and the sheep in a hot air balloon.
What?
Yeah, just to see if you could do it.
Oh, wow.
So,
I've got to ask you, though, before we continue with the animals, were you tempted to get on Virgin Galactic's flights? I think what you need about $400,000 or something.
Oh, look, you know, I can easily afford that. I think I'd buy a Taylor Swift ticket, wouldn't I? Yeah. I'd buy $1,000. No. Feet firmly on the ground. What about you?
No. There's no way.
No.
I reckon there's so many beautiful places on Earth to explore.
We don't belong in space.
No, definitely not. Let's talk about who was the first animal in space.
Well, really interestingly, I don't know how you say this, liberated, recovered. In the 1947, the Americans and the Soviets took rocket ships from the Nazi Germany and their accompanying scientists. And in America, they sent fruit flies, and then they progressed to sending rhesus monkeys. And then the Soviets actually started with dogs.
So dogs?
Dogs, yes.
This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade.
Such a great song, Beck. I love it. Yeah. I love space songs. Just on the dogs, what about that famous Russian space dog? I've forgotten. Was it Laika?
Laika, or in the right pronunciation is Loika.
Loika.
Loika. Loika was a street dog pulled off the streets of Moscow, and they deliberately chose a stray dog, a small stray dog that could fit into the little capsule, because they felt that stray dogs were better suited to the really harsh kind of environments of space and the cold. Yeah.
They don't send dogs anymore, though, do they?
Not that I know of, no. They did. Look, it's really interesting, actually. So, look, Laika, she unfortunately overheated in the capsule, and it wasn't until, within 5 hours of going into orbit. This was the second satellite that the Soviet Union sent up. So she overheated and died, but that didn't actually get released to the public until 2002. But the Russians did manage to send up other dogs, and here's a really cool story. They brought them back and gifted one to Carolyn Kennedy.
Oh, really?
Right. And then that bitch was bred, and now there's a whole line of space puppies.
Space puppies.
Yes.
What if an alien somehow, got to them while they were up there? And
it's very possible that they walk among and bark amongst us.
And they do. They bark. They bark amongst us. So apart from the USA, I'm loving the space music. It's so much fun.
So many options.
Apart from the USA and the Soviet Union, have other countries sent animals to space?
Yes, they have. So France likes to be different. Oh, I was just walking past the French embassy. I was thinking about this. They sent a cat. They had 14 cats that they trained in early 1960s, and they sent this beautiful tuxedo cat called Felicette into space, and she came back. But the reason they thought cats were because cats like small spaces, and cats are pretty okay with being isolated. And so they sent her up, and she came back, but she was put to sleep a couple of months later.
So there is quite a cost, isn't there, in sending animals to space? But the purpose that they were sent was for some other greater understanding.
What they find is if you go up really high, like people who are installing really high altitude telescopes and the like, it has causes delirium, so damage, like people can't think straight. And they were also just wanting to know the effects scientifically of cosmic radiation on bodies. So they've contributed enormously to humans being able to go to space.
But I reckon they've contributed enough.
I don't think it's justifiable at all. But, I mean, look, if we want to colonise other planets and we're going to have to take animals with us. We need to be able to cross-pollinate plants. We need to be able to
eat insects animals. And bees. And
we definitely need cats up there as pets.
What if there's a colony of fruit flies up on Mars now that we've accidentally introduced to the planet?
Well, okay, so some things, I don't know if you know about tardigrades, so they're called water bears, and they're basically indestructible little creatures, and they've sent them up in space. Like, they're these tiny little 1 millimeter long creatures. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what they're, insects or what they are. And you can dehydrate them and send them up in space, and they've put them outside the rockets and then brought them back, and they rehydrate and they survive.
And they survive them?
Yes, yes.
Such harsh conditions.
Yes, about the only thing that can. Yeah.
We're chatting with Dr. Beck Wilcox, Melbourne-based vet and academic, about animals in space and how animals have contributed to exploring the final frontier. Just so, what are these little things? Water, what do you call them? Water bears.
Water bears or tardigrades, T-A-R-D-I-G-R-A-V-E-S. Water bears. Look them up. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. They look like little bears.
And so they were outside in space.
Yes, outside.
So some of them could have jumped off.
I don't know the physics of space. I think I failed that. Possibly. And no, you're right. And they could have colonised. But what's more concerning is we've been sending bacteria up into space, and they actually become more virulent and more dangerous when you send them into space.
Then let's not send them, I reckon.
I think it's a really good – I mean, we carry bacteria, but I don't think it's really smart.
No, I don't think so either, particularly if we're going to bring them back.
Don't bring them back.
Or pollute the environment up there.
The stars, but I'm only human, and I'm drifting in the dark. I'm up in space now.
Such a good song, Sam Ryder, Space Man. Beck, finally, what about NASA's VET program? Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it involves, and why do they have it?
Why they have it is they look after the animals on the ground and in space. So the vets are trained as astronauts as well. So they're, you know, kids out there that are listening, you can be an astronaut and a vet when you grow up.
So you don't make that big decision.
You have to have your appendix removed.
Oh.
To be an astronaut.
Do you?
Truly, truly.
Why?
Why? In case it ruptures up there.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So.
I didn't know that.
What does it hold? I think if we're going to have to be able to send animals into space in some form if we are going to truly colonise other planets.
But how do we make it so that if we do have to send animals into space, it's not cruel?
Oh, dear.
Do you know what I mean? That's the dilemma.
I think...
Stick them on Virgin Galactic, I reckon. Then they come back. What do you reckon?
I think that's a start. I guess I'll have the same kind of conditions that you do for the astronauts, the human animals.
Yeah.
Astronauts.
Yeah, I think so too. And if maybe they're like, you know, keeping them company or something like that, the astronauts.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to tell you a really cool thing. Spiders, they sent a spider called Anita and one called Arabella up to space, and they can spin webs up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God. So we're up in space, there's spiders with spider webs. There's, what are they called? Water pigs.
What are they called? Tardigrades or water bears?
Water bears.
Yeah, but the spiders get this. They swim through space. What a horrific idea.
Beck.
I'm going to leave you with that.
Good to chat with you. We'll talk to you again next time.
Take care.
Dr. Beck Wilcox, vet and academic. You're on Joy Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.